Hello, we are Real Life Lovers. I'm Diana.
And I'm Murph.
And you're listening to Ménage à Trois Radio, where we discuss your hearts and parts.
Oh my, that's what we do, isn't it?
Yep.
And also, each episode, we invite a third party to join us in the sack. We'll be chatting about sex, relationships, and every goddamn thing in between.
That's true. Hey, darling, how you doing?
Pretty good, lover. How are you?
I'm great.
You look great.
Thanks.
You look great, you feel great. That's,
you look great.
A motto. Thank you.
That's my new motto. You know who else looks great?
You know this beefcake. Joining us all the way from the Windy City.
He's wrestled in the WWE.
He's a two-time NWA World Heavyweight Champion.
He's the host of the wildly popular podcast, The Art of Wrestling.
And once he's done kicking your ass, he'll finish you off with a Chicago Skyline, a Colt 45, or perhaps even Billy Goat's Curse.
We're wrestling with Mr. Colt Cabana tonight.
Yay! Yeah. What did you, a wildly popular.
Yes.
It just wildly. Made me think of Wild and Crazy Kids.
It is wild. Was it the aggro crank or was that guts?
That was guts. And wow, hi, good. Hey,
speaking of Nickelodeon,
yeah,
hello.
Wow, good to be in bed with half of you guys.
Yeah. Yes, I am in bed with Colt Cabana.
I am. I'm awkwardly sitting on a chair on the side of the bed.
You're the cuckler over there.
Sure am. I paid my dues, and this is what I.
Which is that? Is that the right one? Cuckling? Yeah.
I think cuckling is the...
That's when you would watch. Right. Yeah, yeah, he knows. Ben knows so well.
Our producer, Ben Haas, is here with us.
He is, and he's also in a chair. He doesn't have headphones on, so he doesn't know that Flight of the Butterfly is playing right now.
We're going fast and loose tonight.
We're playing with the space-time continuum.
It's A-okay because...
Absolutely.
We need to tell our listeners where we are tonight.
We do.
Usually we're in the comfy confines of our studios at UCB, but tonight...
We took this shit on the road.
We're with Colt Cabana in his hotel room.
Yeah, now you see me. Improv, guys. Doing some improv here. Jesus.
Yes, and we're in room 210.
No.
Oh.
Of any hotel in New York City. So
no.
Good luck.
No.
In Europe?
Yes. No.
No, in the world.
Yeah, you know, I travel around and I'm always in hotels. So this is... this is my second home here. So basically, you guys are at home with me.
Yeah, we're on the road.
Absolutely.
You have the home field advantage tonight, which is fine by us because we fancy ourselves a classy podcast.
Okay.
It's
true. So we want to wine and dine our guests.
We always do that.
You don't want me bringing up cuckling right off the bat?
I mean, we definitely want you bringing up cuckling right off the bat. we asked you what your favorite beverage was, and you said... let's say what you really said.
Well,
my
number one was Diet Code Red Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
And we were like, how the hell are we going to find
it? It may very well be discontinued. Is it still sold?
I feel it's still out there. Because when someone just offers to get there, you were like, whatever you want. And I was whatever I want. Cause the usual go-to is I go to the store, maybe a Coke Zero, maybe a Diet Coke. You know, maybe a water, but you guys were like, whatever you want.
It's true.
It's true.
And I was like, ooh, maybe a Code Red Diet Mountain Dew, which is a favorite of mine. And because I'm not a drinker.
Right.
Well, I'll take that back. I do drink Code Red Diet Mountain Dew.
Some would argue, is toxic in its own ways.
Yeah. Oh, sure. God, it's true. I'm with you, but that's my vice, I guess, if I have one.
I think the funniest thing about that to me, too, was the diet portion of that. Because you're like, it's Code Red Mountain Dew, which is such an intense thing. But then the diet.
Well, I don't drink. I only drink diet sodas. But again, I mean, I'm with you, too. Like, it's probably worse than regular. But I don't want the sugars. Am I the first one to have a non-alcoholic drink?
No, absolutely.
No.
Okay. Okay. No. We're just fucking booze hounds. She's like, we want a drink.
I mean, that was almost the comedy in it that like you guys expecting to have an alcoholic drink of whatever. And I would come back with the silliness of but something I love. So I didn't obviously plan.
I couldn't find it. I honestly looked at multiple places in Brooklyn and not find it. But I did find the banana cream flavored muscle milk,
which was my second request.
That was plan B.
Option B.
Yeah. And listen, if I got an option here to get a protein shake in, fuck it.
Why not?
Yeah.
I'm actually nervous because I've never tried this.
That's within your arm's length.
I know. And I've already cracked the seal. Here we go.
Oh, boy.
I love that it's called banana creme.
Oh, yeah. It's creme.
So fancy muscle milk.
You got to shake. Did you shake it?
I did before. Should I do it again?
I feel like we should have wine glasses.
Yeah, this should be fancier for the muscle milk.
And we pour into wine glass and we
can we call room
we
service?
We are in Europe after
can
all.
Can we get room service up here? Was it wine glasses for our muscle milk?
You taking it in?
Okay. It tastes like way better than I imagined. It's not too thick.
Cole Cabana is fucking housing this muscle milk right now.
Oh my
now.
Gosh, he's chugging it.
Oh man, so good.
Wow. Did you just kill that?
No, not completely, but after workout, it'll take me 2 seconds.
Yeah.
I want this to last the podcast, I feel.
He just tilted his head back and almost like squeezed it as if he were a cartoon character.
The weird part was his muscles got bigger.
As he was drinking
it was cartoonish. Mm-hmm. They were pulsating.
It's a solid 15 grams of protein in there. And just one, I think it's a couple servings, 2 servings. So we're getting 30 grams of protein here. Just what your listeners want to hear.
Yeah, well, that's going to get us amped for the rest of the show. I'm over here, meanwhile, taking little dandy boy sips of this muscle milk.
What do you think? I mean, listen, it's milk. There's some protein in there.
Is this real milk?
I mean, not really.
contains no milk, it says on the front. Muscle milk contains no milk.
Includes milk proteins. There's so much
milk
information.
But also milk's weird enough. We've talked about this. You drink in the fucking teats of other animals. That's not necessarily like, I don't give a shit if this is not real milk. You know, real milk is weird enough, I think.
I think this is great. I think this is a great beverage.
And the flavor is great. Banana is good.
Yeah, banana is my favorite flavor of the muscle milk. So I appreciate the drink, and we're off to a good start. Here.
Absolutely. We also want to ask: are you single? Are you a single gentleman?
I am single. This is one of my ultimate fears: is to go on record with all of this.
Oh no!
To being single?
No, I'm just. I mean.
Just chatting about that.
Yeah,
in general.
But like, yeah. I'm in for it. I'm in. So you got me. I am single. My ultimate fear is like one of these girls will listen
all
to
of
this
these girls
and be
will
like,
they'll just be like, he loves muscle milk and he's available.
No.
But that means one of these girls that he's involved with.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you,
one
you,
of my
we can't
friends.
Label it. We don't necessarily need to label it. You got friends.
It's complicated.
Yeah,
totally.
With Cole Cabana.
So, I've got some friends around,
of course,
but nothing holding me down. It's a hard. It's not a hard life, but like, you know, I'm on
well,
the
you
road.
You travel a ton.
About 200 days a year, I'm on the road.
That's insane.
Do you have hoes in different area codes?
See, I no. See, it's no hoes. I make sweet, passionate love.
Yes,
that's something that I make sure I want to get out right now.
Everyone just nodded for the listeners.
It's true.
Emphatically nodded in the room. So pumped over
that.
That
is not the muscle milk speaking either. That
no.
is true.
It 228 pounds, you know, professional wrestler. But when any lady is in bed with me, I want her to feel like a queen. I don't want her to feel like a hoe by any means. And I take pride right. in making sweet, passionate love. Yeah, for sure.
Yes. That's great. Yes.
Thank you.
What do you have like
oh,
a type?
a type.
Yeah, because you're a big dude. I mean, is yeah. it, do you
I
like
do
bigger
like
gals? Or?
No, I like them. Yeah. I like them super skinny, and it's shitty because I know that's like society. I don't know.
No,
no
I think
your thing.
You just attracted
dude,
what you're
your
attracted
thing.
To.
I think because I've been big. Like my whole life, like I love that polar opposite, and I love,
right.
yeah, and I love the idea. I think a girl, I love that they always like. I know they feel super safe, and like I'm a good,
right.
I'm a good spooner and like a good holder,
yeah.
you
oh,
know.
Yes.
So like, I just like,
I just imagined myself as the little spoon for
yeah,
half a second.
See?
And I was like,
I
yeah,
enjoy,
that makes sense.
I enjoy that. I know they're enjoying that. Like I'm just, I'm engorfing. That's not a word.
It is
engorfing.
Now.
Engorfing. No, I
could
feel
be.
Like I feel that.
I feel
yeah.
good about the engorfing. Yeah, no, it's a.
It's
a,
like
it's a
pulling
comfort.
A nice, a, dainty woman into your strong,
yeah.
protective embrace.
It's,
yeah.
it's a King Kong thing there, I mm-hmm. feel.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's great.
But in terms of looks or anything else, no. Like, and I'll go on some of those sites sometimes and I'll see, like, I guess dating sites, you know, or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And mm-hmm. I'll see. All these girls with these giant lists of like what they want out of a man. And then I'm just like, no, because like that's
you're
poor,
on a dating
girl.
Site.
Yeah.
Try something. Just try shit out.
Right.
See what works. Yeah.
So I
it's
make
too
it a,
much.
I make it a point to be like, I don't have like a specific like if you're awesome, then I'm in.
Right.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
you
I
just
don't
gotta
think
be awesome.
It's not in your best interest to like have too specific.
Too specific of no.
then you'll never find anybody.
Absolutely not. I also want to just say that the way this arrangement is here right now, I feel like this is like a sleepover. It feels fun. It feels like I'm just trying to paint the picture.
Are you the kid in the wheelchair?
I'm the wheelchair bound kid.
Murph is hunched over the bed that he can't fit on because of the headphones.
And I just recently lost the use of my legs. It's not like I was
on.
Hey, I'm just trying to get by. I'm at the sleepover too.
All right. Well. I'm sitting cross-legged on the bed. Colt's lying on
the bed.
I'm
like a little seventh grader.
I think that's what's making me feel like the sleepover. Colt's
I'm
going to
shift around a lot too. And love I'm it. In my socks. And I have like restless leg syndrome. Uh-huh. So like I'm always...
Get him some medicine.
Yeah, self-diagnosed, by the way. Mm-hmm. So I'm always moving around.
And Ben is like the creepy older brother in the corner.
Yeah, he's hanging around. We're like, Ben, get us some beer. And then get out of here. Stop looking at my friend Cole.
Do your sister's friends think I'm cute? Weird.
Ben, we need a ride.
Ben, can we slide on over to Sexy Science? What do we do here?
So what we do here is we rip articles from the headlines.
We combine our loves of both sex and science.
And we talk about it on air.
We talk about it.
Do you love science?
That's like the back half of it. More sex.
I think sex is the more one. Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay.
Interesting point.
We usually both shoot from the loins more than the brain. So I think we're loin shooters. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's a fair call.
Yeah. But science, I mean, you want to put a number on anything, I guess, to try to quantify things and... some way or
just another. Just drop the words in and it'll sound science-y.
Eventually, I searched my brain. This article comes from the New York Times, which they're so scientific. The title of this article is Sex as Exercise.
And again, 5, 6, 7, double touch. Sigh. And sigh. Now walk up 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Now double here. That's it. You're doing fantastic.
Thank you, Richard.
Oh, was there, I thought it was a woman.
It's Richard Simmons.
It's Richard Simmons.
I thought it was, who's the bald one? The bald exercise girl, Susan Powder?
Susan Powder.
I thought maybe that was her. Now, before we get into this, sexercise for sure, right?
Yep.
And let's cross both worlds because recently, I guess not recently, but both of our worlds, Amy Schumer went on Howard Stern and said she dated a friend of mine, professional wrestler Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, Ziggler. Yeah.
And she talked about how he had she didn't like it so much because he had athletic sex.
Ah,
a little too much for her.
That's very interesting. Yeah. Because I think we were going to probably ask you the same thing because we're not athletic folks. I mean, we can play sports, but we're out of shape. I think
it this way. We've not had sex before because we were too tired.
Yes. Or had very winded sex that was by no means graceful to watch. I mean, it's just it's for pleasure. But I think when you're out of shape, I do think that you can hit a point where you're just like, this is now just tiring. I've reached my...
Or this is my exercise for the day.
Yes.
You know, sometimes I'll get to that point or maybe while having sex and during the act of sex. And I'll always think back to be like, remember when you were 13 or 14 or even maybe 17 and you weren't allowed, no one was having sex with you and they weren't letting you have sex. So you don't take this for granted.
Right.
And you fucking
earn
fuck.
This. Yeah, you work for this. Yeah, for sure. So, you gotta dig down deep sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it's just like wrestling. Sometimes I'll and probably comedy too. Like you're in the moment, you're just like, and then you're like, no, wait, this is my wait. I've worked so hard to get on this stage.
Yep.
Yeah. I've worked so hard, to get in this ring. I can't take it for granted. The same goes for sex for me. I deserve this
at a certain point. Yeah, you're like, I've earned this. I'm here. I've done what I needed to do. Now I gotta deliver in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there have been a lot of studies done on this, but I feel like this study in particular is alleged by the New York Times to be the definitive study. This dude, Anthony D. Corellis, he's a professor of exercise science at the University of Quebec at Montreal.
God, doesn't sound
too official. Yeah. No, I don't know how they do things in Quebec.
Dr. Anthony.
Hey, Dr. Anthony, how am I fucking? Am I getting my heart rate up? What's going on?
But what the article's basically saying is that everyone always says this because it's hip to say and gets a lot of clicks, but that basically you're not burning many calories having
sex.
Yeah. Because a lot of the pop science of it for years has been, sex is the workout. But what he's claiming is that, after the analyzed data of very extensive, it qualifies as moderate exercise at best. So it's equivalent to playing doubles tennis or walking uphill.
Well, if you're on your back the whole time, right?
But also, yeah, the gentleman, I guess, this is also interesting. They didn't go into depth about this, but I wonder, we're talking about positions, because if we're going just
classic
missionary.
Oh, they didn't go into depth then I'm not interested.
Yeah, then fuck him. This is garbage science.
He's just talking about, like, missionary sex.
Yeah, classic missionary. Well, he refused to acknowledge anything else. He's, he's Antony. That's what the kind of sex
Antony.
He has.
Antony from Montreal.
I only do missionary. So he, So it ranged from, so the sessions that range from 10 to 57 minutes, including foreplay.
57 minutes?
Yeah.
Including foreplay.
Okay. I'm trying to do things in Canada, but that's fucking crazy.
Here in America, we don't have the time. 57 minutes.
We only have the commercial break. Modern Family.
Yeah.
Although I've jumped into some marathon. Again, it goes back to like, who knows when I'm going to get this, especially as a single guy, it's like, who knows when I'm going to get this again. And sometimes I wonder like what these girls think. Cause a lot of me, they're like in my half. And you could tell me, Nina, like half of me is like, yeah, like she's going to be like Colton all night, man. But like, they gotta be like, okay, I was done 2 hours ago. Like, I don't know.
Enough's
I don't
enough.
Know. Yeah. It depends.
It just all depends.
I definitely think that like sometimes a lot of, emphasis is put on like the amount of time that things go on, but that isn't always.
You want quality over quantity.
Yeah, that isn't always like the barometer for good sex.
No, and I think triggers are different. You know, I think.
Well, and also they're saying 10 to 57 minutes, including foreplay. Right. So I think they could be like, I think aggressively making out in the back of a car in an uncomfortable position might
on
burn
your way
more
to the
calories
apartment.
Than like, than just like lying down and like letting someone jackhammer you.
Yeah, I think that's...
I mean, just sex varies so greatly, it's hard to even, like, do this kind of study. Because if you're, like, on top and you're riding as hard as you can for, like, ever and you're whatever, it's, like, tantric, I'm sure that's, like, not even comparable to, like, the regular sex people drunkenly have.
Sure. I think tantric sex is a very interesting thing to bring. I think tantric sex gets into the more of a workout. If you are trying to actively...
A mental workout.
It's a brain fuck.
Mm.
It's you're holding out for that long. But I think regularly, also if you're including foreplay, that can get into, like, you get home, you're taking off your jacket, you're taking off your shoes, you get into bed, you
taking off your shoes
pants.
Is not foreplay.
Yeah, I'm just saying, listen, 57 minutes, I got to make
that's
up
right,
for
that's
some 20, of those minutes.
20 solid
I
got to
account for some of that time.
You brush your teeth, you feed the dog, it's foreplay.
I've had sex before where we were really going at it, and so I'd be on top kind of in a situation, and like I just start dripping down. And
some sweat.
Sweat, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like really, really working hard. And like half of me was like, I'm so sorry. But like we were both kind of like, no, this is awesome. Like it's fine. We'll just deal with it later. Which turned out to be like a great workout.
Yeah, I think sweaty sex is the best.
You give into that. And you're just like,
I think you get what you put
exchanged.
In. Mm. Like I think the best is at the end where you're like, where do I end and you begin? You both just look like shit. Hey, have you ever pulled a muscle fucking?
No. Have not, although
not doing it right.
My buddy the other day, and I obviously won't name names, but he's a pretty big star in the world of wrestling.
Yes.
Fake pulled a muscle the other day to get out of sex.
Oh, my.
Yeah. That's an amazing story. Which muscle did he fake?
His groin. His groin. Because
that makes sense.
Yeah, he said he had a groin injury because we were talking about I had never fake.
Orgasm?
Faked an orgasm. And I was in a situation where. I probably should have because I just kept going like, and that's usually the opposite of my problem, but like I kept going and like, I felt really bad because I just couldn't like furnish and,
furnish. It's not like a furnish. I couldn't furnish the apartment. IKEA was closed.
So I didn't, and he was like, oh, I do it all the time. And he's like, the other day I faked an injury to get out of having sex. And
that's
like,
insanity. Yeah. It seems.
Injury makes more sense to me. Like unless you have a condom on, which we don't. Because we're married.
Stop bragging.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying.
No condoms for us, thank you.
If Murph faked an orgasm, I
you'd be like, you didn't come? What are you doing?
Yeah, I'd be like, I just went to the bathroom and there wasn't like loogies of jizz rolling out of my poonanny. So something's going on.
Like,
I know, yeah, I know that was a heinous explanation. But like, I think that it would be very obvious at some point.
I almost feel like it's interesting for me for the gent to fake. I mean, a woman faking, generally you can, I guess if you're really intimate with someone, you know them. It's like you feel the convulsions, you feel whatever. But the women can certainly fake. I feel like a dude is harder to fake anyway. Even with a condom.
With a condom.
With a condom, yeah.
I think it's kind of easy.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But I don't have the balls. Well, that's the worst. I do have the balls.
I have no testicles, so it's easy for me to fake.
Yeah.
I will come no matter what happens.
To be like, to fake it, and then like her like singing the condom and they're nothing, like, you know, and just calling me out on it.
Yeah.
I feel like the worst person ever.
You know what's, I just thought of the heinous in it. Wait, were you going to say something?
I was just going to say the only issue there would be like lying. But like, it's not a big deal.
Also, you get to a point though. Yeah, sometimes you're just like, I was thinking of a heinous scenario where, you know, the old chestnut of the woman trying to, this is like a terrible thing, but a woman trying to get pregnant, so she like goes to the garbage to get the condom. What movie was that from?
Is that an old chestnut?
That old chestnut, you know that.
You're like, you know what women do.
Yeah, no.
That happened in a movie called, it was with Alicia Silverstone.
Yes.
And Wesley from
Carrie Always.
That's what I was saying.
Oh my word, this is the...
It was called... The Crush.
The Crush.
And it's such a good movie.
It's crazy.
Movie.
So yeah, so she...
She wasn't trying to get pregnant. She said he raped her.
Yes. So to claim a rape. At any rate, it's hilarious to me if like the joke's on you for doing a terrible thing. Where you're like, go to the trash, you get the condom, and you're like, where the hell is the semen?
Genius. Must
fake the orgasm.
That's like a sitcom.
That's a sitcom premise. That's a 2.5 minute
I was
number.
Trying to get pregnant, but he fakes orgasms.
Write it down, UCB.
You got it. UCB. This.
They transcribe all of our episodes.
You know what? We got people, Colt, who come up to us constantly on the street, or they email us, they tweet at us, they need help, and a little number we call Listener Love.
Listener Mailbag.
Advice, right? People looking for advice?
Yeah, they want it from us, they want it from Colt.
The best we can do, to the best of our
Jesus,
abilities.
Jesus, I don't know if I can. All right, but I'm
we're
happy.
All experts. Right now.
Sidebar, we rarely help anyone.
Yeah, we just
no
say
pressure.
What we can say. And so this one was tweeted at us from at Smorgasbord, board, B-O-R-E-D, at our Twitter.
That's
which
clever.
Is very clever, at Menage Radio. And at Smorgasbord says, the NBA and NFL have both recently employed openly gay athletes. What's the world of professional wrestling like in regards to homosexuality? Does the WWE have a don't ask, don't tell policy?
Interesting.
Ooh,
good wrestling question.
Yeah. There was just a guy, Darren Young, who came out of the closet in the most wrestling fakest way ever. I don't know if you guys saw it, but it was like, it was during SummerSlam. It was like,
I heard about this. I didn't see the.
Yeah, SummerSlam in Los Angeles. And so TMZ was there and they're just like, what do you think about homosexuality in wrestling? And he's like, actually, I'm gay and I'm proud of it. And it was like, amazing that he had the balls to do it and go for it. And I think in this
That's
day
awesome.
And age, yes. But it was just so obvious. Like WWE was like, all right, this guy's ready to come out. We're going to want to let's get him. At the, and it was just
let's
like
publicize the shit.
Yeah.
And they make a pageant out of it.
So, but I mean, that's not to take away from, I was going to say the balls, but of Darren to come out of the closet. Right. Homosexuality in professional wrestling has been a thing for forever. I guess just like anything, I'm sure just like in the NFL and the NHL, there's been guys, you know, a guy just came out, Pat Patterson, at like 80 years old. He was a former,
old legend, school guy,
a legend.
Yep. And 80 years old, that's insane.
Yeah, and he came out to the public, like on television or whatever. But he's been a guy who's been known to be, in our inner circles for years.
Sure.
And so I think just how everybody is, it's like the normal people who know not to judge anyone or be a piece of shit for hating someone who, you know,
you just be a fucking human being.
Yeah.
And it's all fine.
Sadly, I guess wrestling is more of, like redneck kind of, you know, so
from a marketing standpoint,
right.
It seems like the company behind it would be a little more,
But what's interesting to me is I feel like wrestling actually kind of runs the gamut, because as an outsider who's not super into wrestling, correct me if I'm wrong, there is a super macho muscles kind of redneck blue collar feel to it that would make you think that it might be hard to come out. But there's also this like pageantry, you know, there's like costumery and makeup and like characters and theater and things like that that kind of feel like they're not so far from
and
like,
even the world of bodybuilding and guys being around each other half naked all the time. And like, even I'd imagine there were people in wrestling who didn't know that they were gay, and then like once they're in a locker room and then like they're constantly like comparing their body, and then all of a sudden they're like, wait, I think this is what I like.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I could only imagine. And right. It'd be interesting to know, like, I guess the case studies of who that was.
Yeah.
But back in the day, you know, wrestlers were like tough guys and bar guys, and kind of like that's how you were thrown into it. And I could see those kind of stereotypical wrestlers being more homophobic in general.
Yeah.
Nowadays, all the wrestlers that are wrestlers now are just kids who loved it in the like on television and grew up watching it, and yep. I feel that they're more of just like our
most
our
progressive
generation.
In general, yeah
our generation, for sure.
Exactly. Then you also have like just speaking to the pageantry of it all, I also feel like when I was younger, the only in fact Dusty Rhodes comes to mind to me of someone who was I have no idea what his sexuality is. I just mean
loose hips,
yeah,
kind of like,
yeah, like almost in a flamboyant, yeah.
And I can
fruity, which is an outrageously offensive yeah. term, I suppose. But also, just it felt like that when you're young. You're like he's so right. flamboyant. Yeah,
well,
yeah.
People have these like personas and yeah. characters mm-hmm. as well.
And
so
I can
it's
name
not
like
that.
Exotic Adrian Street and Ricky Starr was a guy who was a ballet. He was that was his character, and he was a world class ballet like dancer before he got into wrestling. Even now, there's a wrestler. One of my buddies named Fandango does kind of a Dancing with the Stars character. Mm-hmm. But just over the years, yeah, of course, and. I guess, you know, in wrestling, the goal of a bad guy is to get people to boo you. And so people still portray these flamboyant characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen it like switch a little bit. And I guess please use this in context. But like, you know, when a crowd member yells like, you're a fagger, right? Like it's the wrong,
yeah,
quote unquote heat to right. get.
Exactly.
And
but they're playing into the of what it is. But then, yeah, you're right. That's interesting.
They're trying to get right. That's what they're trying to get, that reaction.
Right. Yep.
But that's not what you want, is like these gross people who yell, I guess, their real feelings.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, you're like,
yeah, they're kind of
holy
missing
shit.
The point.
Yeah.
A
we're putting
bit.
On a show here, and now you've just exposed yourself as a homophobe.
Yeah. And I have a friend named Jimmy Jacobs who kind of plays like a borderline, like a Chris Angel type, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets legitimately mad. Like he'll portray that character and people will yell, you know, the F word, not that word. Right.
Not
right.
Fuck.
And right. Not fuck. And then he'll just get on the mic and be like, this is 2014, man. And he'll just kind of break character. I've seen him do it a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Like we love that you're doing this, but you got to get with it, man. Like, what are you doing?
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's
that actually is amazing. Yeah. It feels like
it also, you like you blow. And that's the thing. Like if like you're saying before, you blow somebody.
Yeah.
You go, listen, we're 2014. Pull your fucking drawers down. You want to talk faggot? I'm going to suck you to hell. I think the thing is that's interesting is you said like redneck fans and stuff. So like you're coming to town, people don't see. So like the fact that he breaks character and says it to people, it could blow their minds is what I was going to say, to them just being like, oh shit, okay. Like I was like, I am a fan of this. I am rooting for this. If it
well,
is
someone
more,
they really respect is calling them on their bullshit.
The same thing in the NFL, I think, which is why people, you know, when Michael Sam did come out and that was a big thing, a lot of guys were saying like, yeah, we knew over the years of some people, but it's like you said, it's in the locker room. Like mm-hmm. no one's coming out openly, but that people kind of knew. But I think it's for the fans. Like, I think that is an interesting thing where, you know, if you want to just stereotype wrestling fans or football fans or whatever, and kind of that middle America or redneck or Southern, which is just that they root for people. And then all of a sudden like, yeah, of course. Like, of course, it's just like normalized part of society. And I think our generation gets that better. But I think the older people, I think it's great. It's great to see in the sport.
I think it's good for society. I think art kind of has to lead the way a little bit. And then it like trickles down to the dredges.
Eventually trickles down.
It does.
To the dredges.
All right.
I said suck someone to hell. I don't know what I was talking about, but
I think suck someone to hell is a
It's a wrestling move, actually.
Is it?
Uh-huh. It is now.
It is.
I like believed it for a moment. Our second question comes to us from Taylor in Massachusetts via our Facebook page. Taylor says, I am turning 18 in 2 weeks. My girlfriend is already 18. She wants to get married on my birthday. Oh, aren't God. We too young?
Yes. We don't even have to, all right?
Ah, yeah. Taylor.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think there's two things. One, too young. Two, marriage on the birthday is, like, leave the birthday out of it. I think you just want to have a birthday and an anniversary as a separate day, right? Or does that matter?
Wait, so her friend wants to get married on this girl's birthday?
No, Taylor's the dude, I think.
Oh, okay.
Or a lady, but right, his...
Spit this out to me again.
His girlfriend wants to get married.
He's turning 18 in 2 weeks. His girlfriend's already 18. She's saying as soon as you turn 18, we should get married.
Oh, she's doing some illegal shit here.
Yeah. Is this a statutory?
That's, yeah, we should call the cops.
Yeah, actually, let's...
Taylor, we're calling the cops on you and your betrothed.
Gross. Just gross.
Underage. Disgusting.
Yeah. I agree with the anniversary birthday thing, though, because then you get divorced and your birthday always sucks.
Let's just assume you're getting divorced.
Well, definitely. You're 18. Well,
there's like a, 60% chance? Right.
Who in this room had any fucking idea what they wanted or who they were at 18? Ooh, honestly?
I'm 34. I got no clue what the fuck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I'm like, no, absolutely do not marry someone on your 18th birthday. That's the dumbest shit I've ever heard.
Although, like, this, the sanctity of marriage, like, isn't a real thing anymore. So, like... No. I think it's like, I have friends who've been married like three or four times, and it's just like, I probably could have gotten married, but like, I guess
definitely could have gotten married.
Yes. Yeah.
I know like 50 people would marry.
Really?
Yep.
Well, let them.
We're going to leave a list for you on our way out.
I'll give you some numbers.
Yeah. You're a handsome, funny guy. You could definitely get married, but
I hold the idea of marriage is just like, it seems like such, and maybe that's probably my problem, is I hold it in too high of an esteem, but like, I get nowadays for some people don't like hold it in the same category, I guess, that I do.
Right.
And it's just like another thing. It's just like,
it's like a party.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. That's true.
So like, if that's your personality, Taylor, like, you don't really give a fuck, like, knowing that, like, yeah, maybe you get divorced, maybe you don't, you want to make her happy, like, just know it's going to turn out shitty, like, in 7 years, six years, 4 years.
Well, yeah, there's a high percentage of a chance, especially at that young age, I feel. And like you
Massachusetts,
said,
Massachusetts, no,
I
I'm
mean,
kidding.
Massachusetts, I've already shit on the South before. With
yeah, let's just
bands.
Alienate
let's just
all
shit
of
New
our
England area.
Listeners.
But how does that work? So, like, let's say you, quote, like, you really find, so, like, your soulmate at 18, but you know, and you've, people have told you over the years, just like, you got to go out and experience life. Do you make a plan? Like, okay, we're breaking up. Let's live life and we'll meet back at 30. Like, you know, like.
Yeah, that's a movie that we all need to make.
Yeah. Yeah. Starring Alicia Silverstone and Cary Elwes.
Yeah.
But it's a hard thing, I guess, to do if you really, really find someone that you really love at 18, knowing that you're not supposed to get married. And you're supposed to go out and soil your royal oats. That's right, from right, coming right. to America. Yeah,
exactly. Soil your royal oats.
I think that's 18. I think you're right. I think it would be interesting to make a pact and then come back to it. But I think at 18, where
and you realize like you're like, wait, she was the one, and you're making your way back, and you get run over by a bus.
Yeah. Oh, is that in your movie?
That's my movie
because that's ridiculous. That's movie. Way too precious. You're 18. Your brain is jelly.
You got a little jelly brain. We got married 32. You were 33. You're so much older than I am.
No, I just turned 33. I was 32, and
I watched
32.
You propose on my television.
Yes, on the Gethard.
Just a couple of geriatric folks,
old folks. Yeah, compared to these 18-year-old young pups.
Yeah,
but we both kind of had a similar feeling about marriage, which was just that I was
fuck it.
Yeah, it was like what we didn't. I wouldn't say I didn't hold it sacred, but I just felt like it was not for me for whatever reason, which you could maybe think is immature when you're younger, but I just never really thought of it as a thing. And then
I didn't
sudden,
think I would marry.
I feel so many people feel they won't and then do.
I think that's fair. Yeah.
Well, I think then you like get into a situation where like, oh, that it isn't the worst idea in the world to be like legally bound to you.
Yeah. So Taylor, as long as it's not the worst idea in the world.
That's a roundabout way of saying I love you, darling.
I love you too. Oh,
thank you.
Oh, Taylor.
Oh, sorry.
We love you.
Oh, sorry.
All right. So this last one comes from Zachary in Brooklyn, off the J train. So he wants us to know what
is that
train
a drug
he
reference?
Off of. I think it could be. It could be a drug reference. It could be an order at a brothel. I don't know what it is, but via our email. So he emailed us at menage-a-trois.radio@gmail. And Zachary asks, if someone ate your ass out in a bar bathroom, do you call that person back the next day? Or would you be a rude asshole like Rich Belford who won't return my calls?
Whoa. So this is our first like name drop call out on the
Richie.
Show.
Richie Belford.
Bells,
baby.
You know,
you're
though,
fucking tossing salads in the bar bathroom and you're not returning phone calls.
So I have to pretend like, because I'm straight, so I have to pretend like this is two dudes, right?
Rich and Zachary.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
in this scenario, if I'm going to put myself in this scenario, I have to pretend like it's a woman who just ate my asshole.
Right.
Okay.
For a hypothetical.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's like you hooked up with someone in a bathroom and now they won't return your calls.
But it's not just hooked up. It's,
yeah. It's a specific act. I think it's a specific act.
No, and I agree with that. But I mean, how does that affect someone not calling you?
Well,
you're right. It doesn't. I'm just saying, to wrap our minds around it, I think what we're saying is that
my mind is wrapped.
The guy that's eating your asshole is not a guy who's going to call you back. Like that's a one and done, you know?
Well, that's what I would just want to say is I don't think this guy sent this question in, Zachary, sorry, to like call out this dude and put his name on the record, which I feel bad about. But I kind of want to be like, no, this was like a fun bathroom.
Yes.
Like you
yes,
don't
right.
Leave
it at
that's
that.
Not
why
your...
are you expecting a call?
Exactly. Let's just say any sex act whatsoever that takes place in a bar bathroom, you can probably just be ready to chalk it up to a one night stand.
But we can all play the other side of the sword.
Oz says, yeah.
Yes. Ben agrees.
And we could say maybe he's a keeper. Like, you know, like
also,
right.
Yeah, he's down
so
to get
just
down.
To play the other side.
Right.
I mean, you're not going to find another guy who's just going to eat your asshole in a bar bathroom.
That's a gem.
This is another movie where you try to find him your whole life and you don't know. You have to get your ass eaten in the dark by everyone to
right,
remember the move.
Yeah.
You're like, he had the tongue of a serpent.
He used to do this one thing with
lips
his pinky.
Of a frog.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Where are you, pinky man?
I also love, I that is just like a strange generalization, but I'm just thinking of it in terms of any hookup randomly that I've ever had in a bar or just like a one night stand situation. I just think it would be rare if in a heterosexual hookup, if you went into it with a young lady to the bathroom and she just ate your asshole and then walked out. I mean, it would be like, it is just is what it is, but I think it would just be an interesting, I think that's,
okay.
Know.
Okay. So say you're at a bar and a girl eats your ass in the bathroom.
Bless her.
Typical Monday. And you call her over and over again. She won't return your calls. Do you angrily write into a podcast or do you chalk that up to like a crazy night?
You chalk it, but he's just letting some steam out. I feel
he's letting some steam.
No,
also,
I'm
we
sorry.
Open
I'm
the
not
door
trying to be hard on Zachary. I'm just saying
we
like,
open the door.
The ass eating doesn't feel like it warrants.
You could substitute anything for that. Oh, no. Oh, you're saying, yeah.
I don't know if you could. Like, if somebody, like, I don't think you
shared
can.
Shared their life story with you in the bathroom? Maybe there was no sex. They just went in and they told you their life story. You had a very.
I think you had it right when you said anything that happens in the bathroom at a bar doesn't mean that you need a call the next day.
Yeah. And certainly doesn't mean you need to call out the person by name. And we
Rich Belford.
Oh,
isn't he in SUV or something?
I saw him driving in an SUV.
No, the TV show.
The Law and Order.
Richard Belzer.
Belzer.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, Munch. If this were Munch.
He munched that ass.
He munched that ass, and he couldn't pick up that phone.
Belzer, call Zachary back. all right. So,
and to bring that back to wrestling, I think Hulk Hogan beat the fuck out of Richard Belzer.
No.
Really?
Yeah, go look that up on YouTube when you get a chance.
Wait, is that real?
Yeah.
Belzer didn't call Hulk Hogan back after he ate his
That
ass?
Might have been the situation. Don't quote me on that, but that's exactly what happened.
That's how I heard it.
Yes.
Oh,
through the grapevine.
Lord. That's the best.
Well, these questions, I think we've helped no one, but we tried. Maybe we helped Richard Belzer.
Yeah.
But now we have
like
a few questions.
The help.
We have a few questions for Colt Cabana in a little something we call Six Sections.
These are six rapid-fire sex questions.
So just answer as quickly as you can.
Okay. Oh, usually that's how my sexual experience goes. Just as quickly as I
quickly
can.
As humanly possible.
Starting now.
Number one, would you rather have 10,000 sexual partners or one life partner?
Oh, God, 10,000 sexual partners.
What was that? No. Number two, what's the sexiest animal?
Oh, come on. I don't, a lima? What's a lima? I don't even know. I just made that up.
A lemur and a llama.
Yes.
Yes.
Call number together. Three. Who's your number one celebrity crush?
I don't know. I wanted to say Pamela Anderson. That's like seventh
Pam
grade.
Pamela Anderson. Mug it. Mug it. We're tapping into the seventh grade.
Cole Cabana, what's the best song to have sex to?
R&B. Just put in comment on Pandora.
All right.
Hot tub, backseat, or bed?
One more time.
Hot tub, backseat, or bed?
Oh, sadly, I'm usually a bed guy. Yeah. And I once tried to have sex in a hot tub and I got caught.
What's the single most important characteristic you look for in a partner?
Uniqueness.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. We are done with our six sections with Cole Cabana.
That was fantastic. The pressure comes on when
I'm sweating a little from that.
Yeah.
I'm sweating a little from
it's
that.
The pressure cooker.
Wait, the lima is my favorite.
The lima. Yeah. Lima Peru.
And for those who listen, I guess, to my show, like I have Cabana-isms because I self-diagnosed myself with a little bit of ADD, a little bit of dyslexia.
And restless leg syndrome as well.
Yes. So I tend to mix things together. That's a real Cabana-ism right here that you guys, I'm glad you guys could get it. It definitely was a lemur.
And a llama.
And a llama, yeah.
I see that as like a hooved, long-necked lemur with like big eyes sitting in a tree.
Keep talking.
I think llama... Because it might sound like Lana, who sounds like a sexy girl.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lana that is makes a sexy sense.
Yeah. So I think that's kind of where that came from. Because you can't really look at an animal, I'm going to say on the record.
And go for
and
it.
And find one sexual, right?
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that answer.
Yeah. I know.
I think making one up is the way
to
go.
You know, I disagree with finding
animals. Like, what's
sexual?
A great answer that someone's given before?
Oh, no. I mean, there's been a wide range on this. What's interesting to me is that no one ever says a person, a human. Because you say animal, we're animals. We're all animals.
Don't give me that shit.
I know.
Come
that's
on.
That's garbage. When it's just sprung on you. I would not say human.
Tell me one that somebody said that they've like stuck to their guns. They're like, that animal is sexy.
Here's what's interesting to me. If you stick to the primates, someone did say, has anyone ever said a primate even?
No, because that I feel like is even weirder.
Yeah, you're like, right. I want so close to a human, but not quite. I want those thumbs to be able to operate a telephone.
Yeah, you're like,
but
I want a big hairy person who can't talk.
Oh, I'll tell you a turnoff too. Like, arm hair is a big turnoff for me.
Arm hair?
Big turnoff for me. No. So, you're doing good.
You are. Yeah. So sweet soft.
So like an orangutan, right? An orangutan would be gross to me.
Yeah, hairy arms. Yeah. I mean, and also the breasts, like it is, it's like a weird, I feel like if you
like
took
breasts.
Some acid.
I like breasts.
But orangutan breasts? I mean, their breasts are
got
breasts.
Them tang titties.
I feel like there's
tang titties.
Tang titties. I feel like there's sexy stuff about, like cows have big pretty eyes, but you don't want to fuck a cow.
Yeah.
No.
Like no, once you said that, no sexual anything came over. Like, which is good, which is a good test for me, you know?
Yeah, I'm just going to shout out animals, and then we're going to see if you get a boner.
But that was like a quick, like, hey, on the spot, and like, in the moment, I definitely knew I don't like animals, sexually.
I saw that in your eyes.
Thank you.
I'll confirm
in
that.
In your
you.
Eyes.
But what I also saw in your eyes was you flash back to a 13-year-old Cole Cabana with Pam Anderson.
Who am I sexually, I don't even know.
Yeah,
it's a hard question.
Oh, I'll say something. And this goes, we're in present company. Like, every single girl who sings on the Gethard show, I fall in love with.
That makes sense to me. There's a lot of sexy front women in those like punk indie bands.
It's unbelievable.
True. It's true.
Like the confidence, and they always have like a cool look.
Yep.
Talent.
All they of them. Like it. Literally all of them.
Yeah.
There's not even one that I'm like, nope. I'm like, I'm in love with you.
Yeah. I had a little crush on, did you remember Slothrust? Ben just freaked out. There's a real hottie the front.
I mean, I forget about him the next day.
Yeah. Well, sure.
In the moment, I'm in love with all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, they're sexy.
So going back, but again, the Bumblebee song isn't playing. So
sure.
Yeah. Pam Anderson just got.
That's what came up. I couldn't even tell you a sec. Oh, that's frustrating. All right.
Pam Anderson was also a legendary sex symbol in that time.
Pam Anderson and Jenny McCarthy were one and two.
Yes. Baywatch?
Yes.
Yeah.
I had a crush on Pam Anderson. Yeah,
they were
who didn't?
They were the Maguire and Canseco of my generation.
Yes, they were.
Hitting home runs, then we found out their tits were fake.
Yes, once it was exposed.
Also, I like that you were honest about bed. People want to say hot tub or back seat because it sounds exotic, but we all just want to make love in a bed.
Were you caught in a public hot tub or a private?
At my apartment complex.
Shared hot tub.
Yeah, but no one was in there. It was about to close. And then.
So you were jerking off?
It was a solo affair.
Oh, no, I just like.
It was a poster of Pam Anderson tacked up to the wall.
It was me and a lady friend, and like, it was something I'd never done. It was like, I was like, I brought a condom specifically out knowing that I wanted to have sex in this hot tub. And as I was about to slip it on, like, someone was like, someone had called like the patrol, the apartment patrol. Yeah. I was like, you fucking narc. I was about to have sex in a hot tub.
Who would even
care? What kind of fucking person?
Yeah. This is when I lived in Tampa, Florida for a year.
That
explains everything.
Tampa, yeah.
So the reality is I guess bad for me.
That was kind of like the power couple that never was, I guess, in that hot tub.
I believe that. But the power couple that is and always will be is coming up in our PC Spotlight.
Our power couple of the week.
You know him, politician, author, and Vietnam veteran who has quite the body.
And you know them, explanatory propositions that accuse organizations of covering up illegal or harmful events. We're talking Jesse Ventura.
And conspiracy theories.
All right, this is our power couple of the week.
So this is a human and a concept that we've...
Did you bring this up just because of Jesse Ventura and the wrestling?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, we try to tailor. Of course.
Yeah, this is a thematic episode.
Come on.
No, we always talk about Jesse Ventura and Chug Bustle Milk. It's our regular.
Chug Bustle Milk.
Bustle Milk.
Bustle Milk.
I feel as on the news at 7.
Yeah, guys.
Chug Bustle Milk.
Let's kick it over to traffic with Bud Bustle Milk.
The conspiracy theory. Explanation was so wordy that it like threw off my tongue.
No, I know. I made it too wordy.
I liked it.
I was going for that Oxford definition.
Before we get into this, I do a podcast about wrestling, and I had a live podcast in LA a couple years ago, and I had set it up on the podcast was the real Jimmy the Mouth of the South Hart was going to battle with fake Jesse Ventura, James Adomian.
Adomian does an incredible Ventura. Yeah.
And I had it all set up. And then like
the actual Mouth of the South.
At the last minute, James couldn't make it.
Oh,
like,
fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And I was like, this was meant to like, I was so excited.
Well, also like if he's doing that on the mic, you couldn't fucking tell. You would think it was Jesse Ventura.
And Jimmy Hart, he's so nice. He's so PC, but he'd get it. Like it was a joke, but like, I don't think he would understand like how. Yeah, he would, but I don't think he would understand like how awesome it would be to have, at least in my life, to have James Adomian as Jesse Ventura battling with
the
real
wrestling
Jimmy.
And comedy. Amazing. So and Jimmy Hart is one of my. That's what's strange to me too. Like I've never been a physical presence. I mean, I was a great baseball player and a little bit of an athlete. But as far as wrestling,
and you have sex with no condom,
and I have sex with no condom.
Right.
Raw dog.
One of my favorite parts of wrestling was always Jimmy Hart. I always just felt like that kind of like fast talking promotion part of it was something I was like, if I was ever to be in professional wrestling, I would definitely
people remember him. Yeah. People
He's fucking incredible.
Of course.
That's awesome. But
this is the real Jesse Ventura.
This is the real Jesse the Body. This is not James Adomian as Jesse Ventura.
Okay.
Of course, like as a wrestler, amazing. He was great. A great personality. I don't know, technically.
Yeah.
Fair.
But we remember him.
I mean, we remember him as a governor more than even a wrestler, possibly. Parlayed that kind of personality into politics.
But he has kind of a power couple situation with conspiracy theories because that's like his new venture.
Right.
So Ventura's like, venture.
Ventura's venture.
But
is
he has a TV show all about conspiracy theories.
Yes. Have you seen any of this show?
Maybe I saw a clip of it.
It's insanity. You get to it also. I think he's like, you know, he's a businessman as well. So he's selling himself.
It's like, has he lost his mind or is he just like putting out a persona?
Yeah, you got to understand the world of wrestling. Like, sadly, it comes from the carnivals and it is a con. And like, sadly, you have to think that anytime any wrestler is doing anything, he knows exactly what and why he's doing it. And like, you want to think that he's crazy, but in my mind, I know he knows exactly what he's doing.
Yeah. He's playing the role.
Right. Especially when he started like in the set, you know, or not started, but the late 70s and 80s, like it was at its pure carniest, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So. That's true. It was not, yeah.
He was in the thick of it.
Yeah.
It really busted. I mean, I would say the golden age, or when it really like kind of took off, was like, what, mid-80s?
For wrestling?
Yeah. Like, it got to a level where it was...
Yeah, mid-80s, and then obviously late 90s too with the Attitude Era. But he was right in the middle of it, I guess, more commentating...
Oh, yeah, because he stuck around and commentated after his...
Right,
yeah.
And for those of you who remember, you know, maybe your audience a little more, going to watch Saturday Night Live, and then all of a sudden Saturday Night's Main Event pops up. He was always one of the commentators for Saturday Night's Main Event.
Yeah. But his conspiracy theories is what he's now kind of, I feel like, the second
That's
half
like
of his career. Because I loved when he was running for governor. I mean, I never, again, because he was kind of the 70s. He was a little before my time of watching wrestling. I just kind of knew of him and knew of him as a commentator. But as a governor, I was kind of like a breath of fresh air as, you know, a third party candidate, and was kind of like, tell it like it is. And then at first you're kind of like, this is exciting. And then, you know, I couldn't follow him all the way down the rabbit hole.
See, this is like the dumb wrestler in me. It's like I don't follow politics. I don't even know if I follow conspiracy. Like, you can't get wrapped up in it.
Right.
And not to poo-poo on, because I appreciate the effort.
No,
finding the wrestler and the power couple of it all. But like, I don't even know what I could even add to. I mean, he's half crazy, half wrestler, you know?
Yeah, which is perfect for what he's doing now, I guess.
I think it is. I think the only thing we can all add to it, as we'll go around, is the other thing we really want to know, was 9/11 an inside job?
Oh, I'm on the spot.
Diana
first.
Kolsky,
was 9/11 an inside job? Yes.
Yes, and looks away. It was a fade away.
I don't really have any idea how to answer that.
Yeah, I can't answer
that. Like, I want to make a good radio, but I don't know how to answer that. Murph?
Let's just all be quiet.
Let's have a moment of silence for Jesse Ventura losing his mind.
Let's reflect. No, I don't think it was. An inside job in the broadest sense of it, I would say absolutely. There's no evidence to support that whatsoever. So I would say probably not. I would say it was exploited maybe afterwards, which makes it easier for conspiracy theorists to be like, this is what was happened. But as far as it being like there's zero evidence that I've ever seen to support that.
But what about all that stuff about like the metal not melting at that temperature and stuff?
I don't want to think about it.
It's too awful.
Let's talk about sex.
Let's get back to sex.
That's a good question. While everyone knew they were dying.
No, this is a good question.
Am I allowed to say this?
Do
you think people like got like a quick one in before the towers
As
went
the
down?
As the towers were.
Somebody did.
God, I feel like a piece of shit saying that. Is that okay?
That's a
celebration of life.
It is. In the throes of, you're just like, this is it. It is. It's your fucking apocalyptic scenario.
I bet
scenario.
It came up in half the guy's mind.
No, they were like, ma'am, we found part of your husband. We found his penis inside a dead woman.
Oh, God. Right, because that's the thing. You hear that the plane's going down, and you're always like, people are like jerking off like
their last moments.
Right.
Well, of course, you try to just, I think you go to your most primal self at that point. I think maybe,
there had to be at least one. Can we agree on that?
Yes. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Statistically, at least one.
If the Nicolas Cage film, what the hell was it? Towers? Two Towers?
It was Flight. No, that wasn't
Oliver
it.
Stone and Cage? I don't know.
Yeah, I actually saw that.
I mean, if that movie's to be believed. Oh, there was no?
National Treasure.
No,
National.
I saw it.
If National Treasure is to be believed, right, the Constitution had written up, if there's a terrorist attack on foreign soil, you got to fuck whoever is closest to you. And John Adams signed off on that. Yeah, I think that's hysterical and great.
Could there be like a 9/11 porn called Snake on a Plane? And it's just a guy with a big dick?
On the 9/11 board,
flight, because that was the plane that was flying into the tower. So there was it was just one snake.
Yeah,
on the plane.
Exactly.
There's a
porn parody for everything.
But the Big Boss Man and Akeem were a tag team known as the Twin Towers. And there's a great like wrestling shirt, and it's a picture of the Twin Towers, and it just says "Never Forget" underneath it. Like,
oh wow,
it's
wow.
such a cool like shirt.
Is cool,
but it's hard like making any jokes at the expense of any of this. But
it is what it is.
We laugh,
especially
so
while
we
I'm
don't
in
cry.
New York.
We laugh, you know, so we don't cry.
Right, but I'm a Chicagoan, like sitting here in New York now, which is kind of weird for me. So sorry about that.
We're in Europe, remember?
Oh, sorry.
Yes, that's right. We are somewhere in Europe. And also we're going to go somewhere else real quick. We want to do a little something called virtual sugar. Mm-hmm. That's sweet smooch. What do we do here?
Now, no refined sugar, because I'm trying to stay in wrestling shape.
Just virtual.
This is diet. Okay. This is diet virtual.
Okay, good.
This is calorie free. And what we do is we take a real OkCupid profile. We found one that we think you would match up with. Ooh. Well, and we are going to improvise a date.
Oh,
so Diana's going to play the date. So we took whatever we know about you, and we tried to match you up with a great OkCupid profile. And so the name of the date, the moniker of this OkCupid profile is Mama Spice Knuckle.
I'll be playing Mama Spice Knuckle.
Diana will be Mama Spice Knuckle. And the location of the date is you're going skydiving. And I might play any other characters that come up in the date. You just play yourself.
Okay.
And
are we meeting for the first time? Are we meeting on the plane?
You're in the plane.
Yeah, we're in the plane.
Is there anything to set up or just go with it?
I think just go with it. You're on the plane.
Test my improv chops.
Absolutely. Okay. Ready? Date begins now.
I can't believe we're here. I'm so nervous.
I'm fine with it. You said on your profile that you're all about traveling. Right?
I am, but we're going to be traveling so fast with just our bodies.
And adventures. You said you want to be adventurous.
You're right. I'm excited. I'm just nervous.
Well, there's nothing to be nervous about. Pedro over here.
Hello.
Says, you know, hey, he's
I got two parachutes.
Oh, great.
One's for me, because the plane, I gotta crash this plane.
What?
That doesn't matter. It will be fine.
What? Crash
two
the
parachutes.
Plane?
You two on a date? I put a parachute on the two. You two share.
Oh, we'll go in tandem.
Okay. Wait, but it's crashing?
I gotta get rid of this plane. This plane is,
Pedro, I gave you $50.
You pay me $50. You get $50 worth of skydiving.
I thought I was going to pay for this date.
Oh, boy.
Sorry.
This is embarrassing, Mama.
I'm sorry.
Because chivalry is not dead. Now, I look bad. I look bad because I can't. You just took out your money and you paid, didn't you?
No, I mean, I just thought I wanted to make sure we got something nice. So I spent $50. And now this man named Pedro is crashing the plane.
Well, it's my ex-wife, plane. You know, I want to pay back.
Now, do you control when you're crashing?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You won't crash. I just go, you know, you when you're a kid, you have a bike, you know, bicycle, bicicleta. You roll it down the hill. You ghost the bike. You let the bike, you get off, the bike keep going.
So I mean, we're going to be ready to jump. Nothing to worry about. See, honey, nothing to worry about. Okay. Honey, on our first date, I just called you honey.
Oh, my God, that was so cute. No, it's because we're scared and everything's tense and sexy
right now.
All right.
This is okay. So you strap to me, I strap to you?
I don't
Pedro,
know.
Pedro, how does this work?
Well, one problem. Wait, you strap, I give you a parachute, but I have two dogs. I don't want them to die. Maybe you take one, I take one.
Wait, we have to take these dogs with us?
I don't want my two dogs.
Mama, you said you were an animal lover.
I am, but I mean, we're going to have a Great Dane and a Chihuahua strapped to our bodies.
No, we're not. He's going to have either a Great Dane and or a Chihuahua strapped to his body.
I mean, if I get a vote, I take a Chihuahua because light, I'm not a big... You a big guy.
No, I'll take the Great Dane.
You a big guy, take the Great Dane.
This will be our dog.
Okay, great. Let's do it.
Okay.
So how does this work? Now, do you just release these valves? I don't even know. I've never been skydiving before. I am so adventurous.
No. You really are.
Yeah.
You're adventurous. Yeah. You have a fat wallet and you love dogs.
And you know it. Release the valves is all you got to do.
Hold on. Before we... What do you know about my wallet? What is that?
You were upset that I paid and you wanted to pay. I just mean that you're being generous.
Oh, okay. Cause, I mean, that wasn't like a shot at my weight or anything, was it?
No. What?
Okay. Well, you know, I'm a little self-conscious, and this is...
What? You're only like 400 pounds.
Right, but with my profile picture, it was a little bit different than it was, and yours is like exactly how it was, so I'm kind of a little embarrassed.
I couldn't even really tell what yours was because it was so blurry. I figured you were just a whirlwind of adventure.
Yeah, I really am. So, okay, so the fatness is okay? Wallet or whatever?
Fatness is totally fine. The chocolate on your face is fine. You have such a big heart.
Yeah.
Big, big swollen heart.
Yes. Okay.
I've prepped the dogs.
Oh,
the dogs are ready.
Okay.
Are you ready? The mountain is coming close. We gotta go.
You said you weren't gonna pressure us now.
I'm sorry about that, but you know the mountain will get closer. I did estimates, but I don't know. I'm not a pilot.
Mama, you okay with this?
Yeah, I think we're about to crash into that mountain. We gotta jump.
Okay, strap in.
Let's strap in.
chick. Clock,
like, grab Pedro Jr.
Pedro.
Yeah. My mama knew Pedro.
So this isn't bad. We're just like floating.
Oh my God. This dog is freaking out.
He's kind of cute in midair.
Yo, guys, I forgot my shoe.
Oh my God, Pedro.
Tell my ex-wife I hate her.
Oh my God, Pedro just crashed into that mountain.
Oh my God, I wish I was dead.
Oh my God, he's alive, still alive.
I can't move.
You can hear him that far away?
No, look, his legs are moving.
Oh, but you have great ears.
I can't move.
Half his body exploded.
Do you see my top half gone? But my legs move.
I guess his mouth is kind of moving. I think that's just like reflexes from dying.
Colt, life is too short. We're about to hit the ground. Do you want to get married or go on a second date after this?
Yeah, I think we do it, but I have a feeling that I am so big right now that you will be 100% alive as long as you allow me to land first. And on our first date, I will sacrifice myself for you, mama.
I now pronounce you man and wow.
I do.
Cole, oh my God, he's dead. I'm going to marry this dog.
And that was a great date.
And
that was
scene.
A great date.
Fantastic.
Okay.
You sacrificed yourself. Ooh. It was amazing.
I felt a little nervous on that. Not much of an improviser.
No, you crushed.
Oh, you were amazing.
Okay. Okay.
I married a dog, for God's sake.
You married a dog. I did a horrendous accent. We all dove in.
I love
full circle with the dog, though, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it did. Came back to the pups.
Did you do that on purpose? Is that an improv move?
No. Whoa, callbacks?
Callback. I feel that's a callback. Yeah. I feel that's an improv move.
And I will say this, just to float this out there in my own conscience, I also felt the 9/11 callback coming in with the plane. But then
I did too.
I said, nah.
You saw how weirded out I was just talking about it.
Exactly.
In general.
Exactly. In an improv moment, I'm like, we pimped Cold into getting into this improv scene, and now all of a sudden I'm going to bring the planes are crashing into that. I said no.
Thank you.
And now I'm sad.
I'm sad too, and it's not because of 9/11. It's because we have to say goodbye to Cold.
We have to say goodbye to Cold Cabana.
It's really sad.
You've been a fucking phenomenal guest, Cold.
Please follow Colt Cabana on Twitter at Colt Cabana.
And if you want to see Colt wrestle, and we know you do, peep his touring schedule at ColtCabana.com.
And you must listen to his podcast on iTunes. It's so good. The Art of Wrestling.
The Art of Wrestling. It's fucking great. Thank you so much for
being
here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us, actually, because
we're
not
being
in
your
hotel room.
Thanks for letting me lie in your bed and Murph creepily hang over your bed.
And also thank our producer, Biho.
That's Ben Hosley.
That's Ben Hosley for also creeping at the edge of the bed.
We want to thank our mother, Used to Be Comedy, and please tweet at us at Menage Radio.
Reach out and touch us at menageatois.radio@gmail.com and check us out online at menageatoisradio.com.
Oh, goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, lovers. Go.
Let's get under these covers.
And sip on a little muscle meal.
Ooh, there's freestyle. A lima.
Menage a Trois is recorded at UCB Comedy Studios in New York City. Titillating tunes brought to you by French Horn Rebellion. Check out all things funny at ucbcomedy.com and subscribe to Menage a Trois Radio on iTunes for new episodes every hump day. That's Wednesday for all you lovers out there.